Okay, we're in the middle of Parak Yud Zayin of Tehillim. I'm finding every pasuk of this particular parak both extremely intriguing and compelling, and at the same time very difficult to understand. In fact, I saw one of the mafarshim that I like. Everybody's silent. All my regular go-to people, they don't talk about this parak of Tehillim. I don't know if they skip it, but I finally found today in the Ibn Ezra, he says that it's hard to know what David HaMelech wanted with this parak. And if you look at Rashi and the Sfarnoi, for instance, and what we've been learning, opposite approaches completely. Is he justifying himself for the Chet of Basheva? Is he saying that he did shuvah the Chet of Basheva? It's all unclear what we've been talking about for the last few days. But I decided to go with this Mahalach of the Medrash Chachamim, which is also the Mahalach of the Malbim, and seems to be miyuchas to the Gra, that what David HaMelech was saying, this is just to do a brief review of what we learned last night, what he was saying was that, yes, I did a chet, but not so much it wasn't my fault, but it wasn't really me. That wasn't the true me that did the chet. I mean, he wasn't saying, to be understood correctly, he wasn't saying, well, I was possessed, you know, and I did this chet. That's not a Jewish idea to say. But he was saying that, you know, sometimes, you know, just like us when we're judging a person, sometimes you could judge a person could do something terrible, be rude, or even be hurtful, you know, be mazik. And sometimes, you know, that's a description of what's going on. That's the type of personality that person is. And sometimes it's just totally out of character for that person. So what David HaMelech was saying, that it's that this chet of Basheva, it was totally out of character for me. Libi cholo bekirbi. I wasn't on top of my Yetzirah, and I am now. But when I asked to be tested, that in itself triggered off a kind of a response from Shemayim, where he said, okay, you want to be tested? Let's see. By the way, probably the same thing is true with Shlomo HaMelech. I think Shui mentioned, did you mention Shlomo HaMelech? That Shlomo HaMelech, a similar idea. Shlomo HaMelech said, well, the pasuk says you shouldn't buy horses because you shouldn't go back to Mitzrayim. So he bought horses and he went back to Mitzrayim. So Shlomo HaMelech was smarter than anybody, right? So what was the shot? The Torah says that Mitzad Atzmai, he would have been obeyed that Nisayit. But the fact that he tested himself that way and he went against the Torah, so that in itself maybe he lost, maybe the way to say it is he lost the Siyata Deshmaya for that moment to withstand the Yetzer Hara to go back to Mitzrayim, even if only to buy horses. So you find a lot of that. So the wrong thing to do is to say, God, test me. This is not the right thing to do. But besides for that, it comes out that even if you would be tested and pass the test with flying colors, once you ask to be tested, you're already in a precarious situation. You might not be able to withstand that test. So that's the derif that we're learning, and that's what David HaMelech says. Bachanto libi, pakadato laila. You check through my heart. You see my heart is good. Pakadato laila, as he says so fascinatingly, the Medrash Chachamim, it was really just a malach called Laila that made me, that got involved with, like, Laila is the name of a malach that's mamuna ala taiva. There's a special malach for that. You thought you could do it all by yourself? No. It's a special malach, which is mamuna ala taiva. It's a good malach. Taiva is a good thing. You know, if you don't have an appetite, you don't eat, etc. So taiva is a good thing, but it's not a good thing if it's abused. So the Laila went to work on this. I'll get him going. so you got to be careful not to. It's probably similar to. I'm struggling myself, which is why I'm saying so many examples. But al tiftach pelasan, or an ayin hara. Like sometimes it's not such a good idea to say like, I was kovesh this. I took care of this. I'm all set with this. Because then what happens is you open up a whole tick in Shemayim, and it's okay. Were you really? And you start to get tested. So like it's I think Rashi says someplace that the pshat in ayin hara is that ayin hara opens a tick, it opens a din in Shemayim. Do we want to be judged whether we really deserve what we have or whether we don't? Just be quiet. You have a good thing, just zashtil. That's the best way. So that's what David HaMelech said. Here, another fascinating pasuk. This whole perek, L'kula Alma, is tefillah l'David. It's a tefillah. And David HaMelech starts off by explaining why Hashem should accept his tefillah, and then goes on with the tefillah. So he's still explaining why you should accept my tefillah. But he says here, this is a peculiar pasuk, I think. Ani krasicha ki saneni el. Ani krasicha, Rashi says, ki saneni el, ki batuach ani shetaneni el. I am davening to you, he says, and there's another interesting presumption. I'm davening to you, Hashem, ki saneni el, because I know you will answer me. So he says, therefore, hat aznachali in shma imrasi. Hat aznachali means lend me your ear. Hat aznachali. Listen carefully to what I have to say. Shma imrasi, and listen to what my words are. And his tefillah is, just we'll go back to this passage, which is really what I was talking about, but his tefillah is, Haflei chasodecha Moshiach hoisim. Make it clear. Haflei means to make it clear, like lahafli, like hafla. Right? Ishki yafli neder. Make it clear. Make it absolutely clear that you're doing chesed with me. Meaning, don't give me a matan beseser, is what he's saying. I want the Rishoyim to see, I want my enemies to see that I have a relationship with you and you're answering my tefillah. So he says, Haflei chasodecha, like v'niflinu anani v'amach, Rashi says, Moshiach choisim, and save those that trust in you, himself and others. Mimiskoibimim b'yuminecha, from those that live by your right hand. Rashi says, Harezem mikra masuras. He says this over and over again in this parak. Harezem mikra masuras. But what it means, he thinks, is Haflei chasodecha lohashia biyaminecha es hachoisim. Mikra masuras means like the words are out of order. Scramble. You have to put all the words in the right order to get a pshat over here. So Rashi says, he thinks the pshat is Haflei chasodecha, let your chesed be out there, apparent. Lohashia biyaminecha, to save me with your right hand being the stronger hand, and the hand of chesed, Yamin is always on the right, es hachoisim, and save all those that trust in you. Now listen to this. The Medrash Chachamim says, hat oznecha li, let's start with ali krasicha ki saneni el. I'm davening to you because I know you'll answer me. Hat oznecha li shma imrasi pirush. Ach ezeb bikashti. I'm davening it. This is what I'm asking you, Hashem. Sha'al ta'aneni koidem sha'aspalel. Don't answer me before I ask you. Is that interesting? Do you ever hear anything like that?
Bar Kokhba.
Good. Story of Bar Kokhba was, he said to Hashem, don't help me, don't hurt me, right? That's the truth. Don't help me, don't hurt me. Let me do it, Sheikh, let me hook. So he said, I can do it myself.
When we say Anenu, we usually say to say Barkeret, we say, answer us before you.
Right, like Tarab Nishma. Tarab Yikra of Aniena. It's like a nice thing. Tarab Yikra, I didn't even ask you, and you're already answering me. So here, I never heard anything like this. David HaMelech says the other way around. Hat oznecha li shma imrasi, ach ezeh bikashti, al taneini koidem she'espalo. You know, it reminds me of, like, if you ever went fundraising, so if you go into a wealthy person's thing and you start to talk, so he starts to write the check. Oh, I don't want to hear terem nishma vani. So I have this all the time because I'm very convincing, so they're afraid I'm going to convince them to write a bigger check. So write the check, okay, now talk. Don't do that. Hear me out. Talk. That's what it reminds me of. Ach ezeh bikashti, al taneini koidem she'espalo. Don't write the check before I doubt it. K'mashaber lamala, he said this also earlier in Parak Gimel, koili al Hashem ekra v'yaneini. The order of events has to be here, that I'm davening, and then you're answering me. Not Tarab Nikra Vani and Be'eshani Noisin Koili El Hashem Ubedati Shakra Lovely Spal Al Tsarasi V'aneini Tekef Koidum Kriyasi. I don't want you to do that. Don't answer me when you see my tsar. Answer me when I daven to you. Can anybody think of a reason why he would say that? I mean, other than my fundraising example.
Well, and of course, in davenings, they're supposed to be changing themselves. Maybe he's saying, wait till I finish davening and see what I'm holding then.
In other words, make your din. So it is like the fundraising thing. Right, don't paskin before I daven. Don't make a achlata.
Could be because earlier he davened for an asylum and saw that it messed him up. The man saying, don't assume that that's what I want.
Don't think I'm davening wrong.
Right.
Let me daven. So here's David Avel standing in front of Hashem, and he's saying, "Let me talk. Let me talk." So he says here, "Lefi shechosh jinoisi," because my enemies, the five enemies of David Avel, "chosh jinoisi, she'ein ani kedai v'hagul lefanecha shetishma koili." People are saying that he did this chet. And Hashem has no interest in his tefillos any longer. Shoymer tznulai. So they say, just give it to him, va'alesh makoyle, and don't listen to him. Give him what he needs, and don't listen to him. You want to take care of him? Take care of him. But don't listen to his tefillos. There's a pella. I mean, how would anybody know, you know, whether he's davening, he's not davening? You know, so there, he says, I want to make it clear that I'm davening, and then based on my davening, I'm being answered. So I think it's just a little bit of a different connection than what we're saying. And that is, I want it to be clear that my davening is good. My davening is accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My davening is valuable. And that's why you're answering. I don't want to be answered now b'shusavos. I don't want to be answered because you have rachamim on me. I want you to hear what I'm saying. And that's how he learns it. So again, this is a chiddush to me, this whole idea. But I saw in the Ramchal Vali Sefer, the Ramdu, so he says something, it's not really similar, but I think the two things together start to make sense. He says on the same pasuk, "Ani krasicha ki saneni el, kloimer, af al pi," listen to this lesson. David Abel says, I know that you're close to me. I'm davening to you, and I want the answer to my prayers to be subsequent to my prayers. Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and here this all of a sudden opens up a whole new idea. We know that. But why? Right? We know this from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, right? We know that Hashem loves the tefillah of tzaddikim. So Rashi brings Chazal. Why does Hashem give the big tzaddikim such tzaras? They don't have children. Well, why are they having children? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants them to daven. Sounds almost cruel, no? I want you to daven, pray, right? Minatam shekasavnu b'kama sari, says, I've explained this many places. The reason is like this: Ki tefilasin shel tzaddikim. This is all all the tzaddikim in the room here. Ki tefilasin shel tzaddikim. He shes goyrebes zivug lebalo. Kabbalistic idea, but an easy idea: that when a tzaddik davids, you're connecting the heaven and the earth. It's a zivug lebalo. You've created. You've gotten Hashem's attention. So when a tzaddik is davening, you're davening. All of a sudden, the Shemayim is closer to the Aretz.
Everyone was
nana
with her.
Oh, va'zivug shel dargi kadishin hu kiyumay shalai lav. If this tzaddik wouldn't be davening for his tzara, then the whole world wouldn't be miskayim. So yes, he's davening for his tzara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to poke him in order to get him to daven. But the reason that he wants him to daven is not so that you'll have children. It's like you say, so everybody had kids. Kulam nifkadim imam. Everybody has children. Now the tzaddik just opened up the big valve in Shamayim by davening, and woe comes down pouring on the whole world. So the tzaddik has tzar so that he'll daven, and therefore everybody's being nana. The ulai shezehu atam leinian, and this must be the pshat, rabbis rois tzaddik. The tzaddikim have so many, you know, he was best friends, the Ramdu with the Ramchal. I always think about the Ramchal. Ramchal, like, where would we be today learning without the Ramchal? The Ramchal running from city to city and country to country. You know, he died at 39 years old, just babishing from Tsar. He dies persecuted. Babishing Gadol Ador. You know, he was persecuted. So, like, there's some, and so was the Ramdu. They wouldn't let the Ramdu publish any of his Svarim. They were only published after he died. Nothing was published while he was there. They were worried. But so, like they felt so strongly. This group of tzaddikim. I'm saying my own feeling. They understood Rabbi Yisroi tzaddik umikulam yatzilenu Hashem. Kadesh yuchrach. Why does a tzaddik have such tzars? Kadesh yuchrach laharboi tefila v'tachnunim. To get up to daven. I don't want to dissuade anybody from being a tzaddik. It doesn't mean that if you're a tzaddik you have a bad life. But it's just to answer a different kasha. Why should a tzaddik have any tzaris at all? If you're a tzaddik, why do you have tzaris if it's a tzaddik? So the answer is because the tzaddik has to connect the shemayim va'aretz. And it could be if he'd do the same thing without tzaris, he wouldn't need the tzaris. But the tzaris are causing the connection to be bad. Marshall about Dover Doiba, you know, like sometimes, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I just happened to hear a story like this a couple of days ago, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took somebody to the doctor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took somebody to the doctor because they had what looked like some kind of a growth. They were a little bit worried about it on their chest. And after all the examinations came out, they had lung cancer. Nothing to do with that. that was fine. But somehow went through this X-ray, that X-ray, whatever, somehow or another, or he coughed, and they found it much bigger, and were able, as I said, able to save his life. So, you know, like, so sometimes, like, the tzara is really a bracha in disguise, right? We've all heard stories like that. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu let Moshe Rabbeinu daven 515 tefillos kamidyan ve'eschanon, right? He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Ikvar nigzer gzeira shalai kadosh el haaretz. If there's a gzeira, you're not going to go in. So stop him at tefillah number one and say, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're wasting your time. You're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. You're wasting your time. What are you doing? He did tell him at the end, must speak. Stop davening. You don't have to, don't daven anymore. Elatam ha'yilatachlus ha'nisker. It's because of what we just said. Ki kama tikunim gedolim goram tzadik gomer kemoshe l'chol Yisroel b'choleis shetofas l'harbos b'tfilosof. The Ramchal says in Derech Hashem, I believe that even today, if a Yid wants to go into Eretz Yisroel, and there's so many hardships, they can't make it, and they do make it at the end to Eretz Yisroel, it's because of the tefillah of Moshe. Like all those tefillahs, you may say, well, even one tefillah of Moshe, but you know, 515 tefillahs of Moshe lasted for all the generations. That's how we got to Eretz Yisrael, probably why we have Eretz Yisrael. So this was all the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, daven more. He didn't stop him until 515 tefillahs because he wanted those tefillahs to open up the Shemayim. V'loy l'chinam amru chazal, halavai shispal adam kol hayom kulay. First of all, like what we have is a whole new, I'm dwelling on this for a moment because a whole new idea of tefillah. What tefillah is, it's not just about, supplication or subjugating yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it's all those things, asking Hashem for what you want or getting your personal needs. It's a whole different thing. You're connecting Shemayim V'aretz. And by connecting Shemayim V'aretz, everybody around has a hashpa from it. Yeah, Mamash Rav Chanina ben Dosa. What's the lashon? Kol ha'olam kulay misparnes mechanina b'ni. Bishvil chanina b'ni. Boy cha'atzadik misfal lamata. Then he gives another kind of example, which he even puts it differently, if I could just for a moment. Say ulamad b'milchemes ha'malek. Look at this, the milchema with ha'malek. Sha'amad Moshe b'tfilah kol ha'yom kulah. what was going on there by Amalek. Like Moshe Rabbeinu standing on top of the mountain, and his hands are up in the air, and he's davening. And that's why Yeshua was matzliach. So you don't need Kabbalah for this. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for Yeshua, and Yeshua was matzliach. No, there was a different lumdus going on. That's amateur. The real lumdus that was going on is that Moshe Rabbeinu had his hands up in the air connecting the Shemayim V'aretz. Kol Zman that his hands are up in the air connecting Shemayim V'aretz. Yeshua was, this was a miraculous war for Yeshua to beat Amalek. Amalek was ISIS. This was a difficult group of people. So for him to be able to beat them was a miracle. But it all had to do with Moshe on top of the mountain with his hands touching the sky, meaning that it was there. So it could be that this is, I'm just taking now the Rambam and I'm putting it into the Mishnah Chachamim. I'm making a shidduch between the Ramchal and the Talmud Agra. That it could be that what David HaMelech said is, don't stop my davening. I don't want here a Terem Nikravani, and don't stop my davening in advance, because my davening, by me davening, so it's creating, as he says, Hafle Chasadecha Mashiach Choisim. It's not just for me, it's for everybody who's having betachin in you. So the davening itself has a tremendous value. And now we can understand what he means over here. Because his enemies were saying that, what are you letting him daven for? His davening is worthless. He has tzaris, fix his tzaris. What are you letting him davening? He's not being mechaber of the Shemayim V'aretz. So David HaMelech said, no, I am being mechaber. It's not about, like, look, you see Mike's fillers are answered, like he's doing a miracle or something. I am being mechaber Shemayim V'aretz. I do understand what Mike's fillers is for. And therefore, I can say, Kisaneni El, Anikrasicha Kisaneni El, let the order be that way. And then, Hafle Chasadecha Mashiach Choisim, Mimis Koimimim, it's all plural, B'yiminecha, from everybody who's going to benefit from the Yamin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me just say one passage before we'll learn it tomorrow. I just want to say, Shamreini Ki Ishoin Bas Ayin, watch me, take care of me, Ki Ishoin Bat Ayin. So I was just a little bit as an aside, a little bit fascinated with this. If you look at the in the non-Jewish Bibles, so Ki Ishoin Bas Ayin is always translated as "Watch me like the apple of your eye." So what in the world is an apple of an eye? I don't know. Shakespeare spoke about the apple of the eye.
You mean the pupil?
Means the pupil. What's an apple? You think? Okay. It looks like an apple? I mean, like somebody looks at somebody's eye and sees an apple, they're taking too much LSD. like, what is the apple of it?
Generally round.
Round. Okay. Could it be a nut also? You know, like, I mean, it could be a grape. Okay. I'm just saying, like, for some reason, it's always translated as an apple. Yeah, I'm just pointing, what does it really mean? What's Ishoin
Bas? You mean like the blackness of the eye?
Oh, so Rashi says, Rashi says the black hu hashachar shebaayin, which the vision. By the way, ishay bazayin refers to the pupil. Pupil itself is an interesting word.
What's
pupil?
It means
Talmud. It's in Latin, pupila. I don't know what we're missing. We're missing our local Dr. Reber.
Greek to me.
That's Greek.
It's the apple of the Rebbe's eye.
The apple of the Rebbe's eye.
Is the pupil.
Is the pupil. Very good. That's right. But so the Malbim says that the pshat in Ishoin is Ish, just so to say this word, Ish Shon. Whenever you see, the Mitzvah stuff, it says it also if you have it there. Whenever you see a Vav Nun at the end of the word.
Is it diminutive?
So, no, yes, it means that like a reduction, like a small. So a little man. So you look at somebody's eye and you see a little person in that eye. It's like a strickle nest, though. Like you look at your eye, you see what?
Homunculus.
Yeah, okay. So that's an Ishon. My kasha is that I could, maybe you could help me, that Ishon means little man. Ish means big man. Ishon means little man. That's what Vav Nun says, the Mitzvahs of the Malbim say. Can you think of another example?
Shabbos sign.
It's a little Shabbos, it's a big Shabbos.
And it's something, I forget who said something like that. It means the Yontif is not Shabbos, it's sort of, it's a miniature Shabbos. It doesn't have the Kedusha of Shabbos, but it's like a...
I had a kasha for Shabbos Shabbos. To me, Shabbos Shabbos means the biggest Shabbos of the year. Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabbos.
Yom Kippur features of both. It's a Shabbos and a Shabbos.
I hear. To me, that was a kasha, but there's not too many words that end with Vav Nun to make it into a diminutive, as you call them. Like it's a, there's not too many words like this. I think this is the word. This is the raya. So a little ishon, like a little doll, like a little ishon is a doll. Okay, just wanted to mention the grammar. Yeah.